Good morning. Go ahead and be turning to your Bibles to John chapter 14. It's great to see everyone. If you're visiting with us this morning, over the last few weeks, I've been talking about our enemy, the devil. From 1 Peter 5. How God tells us that you and I need to be self-controlled and alert. Because Satan is not an opponent. Satan is our enemy. An enemy that is out to destroy you and me. Like a lion, he will stalk you. He's very patient. And then he will pounce. And we started talking about how he uses deception to get us to disobey God. We talked about that for about, I don't know, three lessons. Then I believe on Thursday night, I talked about discouragement and defeat. That's another tactic that Satan uses. This morning, I want to talk about another tactic. And that is doubt and discontent. You see, when you know the way the enemy operates, you know how to fight back. Are you listening to me? And I want to kind of pick up from there this morning, talking about doubt and discontent. But first, I need to offer an apology to Mike Rowell. He came up to me right after service on Thursday night as I was rushing out the door. He says, "Brother, you made me struggle." Says, "You know, you preached this awesome sermon, and then you started talking about the Heat and LeBron and did your stuff, and that you caused me to struggle." And I apologized to him. I said, "Brother, that was not my intent." Gary was telling me this morning that he got home early, and Christy said, "You got home early." And Gary told me, he says, "Well, Richard let us out early." I said, "But Gary, I preached for 40 minutes. I did my normal 40 minutes, and I kept the time, but I went home and I was very happy for my team. What can I say? It was a thing of beauty. Man, they played an awesome game. And Gary said to me this morning, make sure you don't talk about Heat for 35 minutes. I'm not doing that." John chapter 14. This is one of my most favorite passages in the entire Bible. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Again, obviously, we know the context. He's just finished telling them again that he's going to go to the cross, he's going to die, and they're feeling down and discouraged. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." He says, "Trust in God, trust also in me." Then he talks a little bit about heaven, that he's going over there to prepare a place for us. Amen? This ought to fire you up every day, but guess what? The devil does not want you and I to believe this. Satan says, "Do not trust in God. Do not trust in Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's no heaven. There's no hell." You know, Stephen Little reminded me the other day about a quote that, you know, one of Satan's big deception is to convince the world that he does not exist. And if you think about it, it's very true. Because a lot of people today do not believe in a God. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. Most people don't. But you see, Jesus says, "Trust in me. Trust in God." Amen? In the Bible, we find God making a ton of promises to us. A whole litany of promises. From start to finish. A lot of them. But Satan does not want you and I to believe them. See, some of these promises sound familiar to you. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Satan knows that God has the power to do all this stuff and then some. Remember, he used to live in God's presence. I think we forget that sometimes. He was an archangel up there. He knows God's power. He saw some of it. Until he rebelled against God. And this guy said, you're out of here. Revelation 12. See, Satan doesn't want us to believe any of this stuff. God always keeps his promises. There's no need for you and I to doubt him. You know, I think as humans, especially living the 21st century today, we become very jaded. Because people tell us things and they don't come to pass. You know, people promise us things and then they don't deliver. And we get very jaded. God is not like that. God is not a salesman. God is not a politician. He is Jehovah God, the Almighty God. Amen? When God tells us stuff, you and I can take it to the bank. Every promise in this book is true. And so Satan will use doubt and discontent to get you and I not to believe what the scriptures are teaching. Especially when we're down. Especially when things are not going the way we think they're supposed to. Are you listening to me? But you see, we've got to trust God. You know how the airlines will promise you? You know, the flight is going to depart at 9 a.m. I don't know about you. When they tell me the thing is depart at 9, I'm always looking at my clock. I'm just that kind of person, you know, I live by the clock. And you're sitting there on the airplane, you know, you bought it and everything. Usually it doesn't leave on time. And I discovered the other day that the departure time is not when it takes off. That the departure time is when it backs away from the gate. Okay? You may say, wow, Richard, you figured that out? Yeah, I just figured it out. But it's funny, you know, they'll tell you 9 a.m., and I'm always very impressed when they actually do it. It's like, all of a sudden it's 9, and they're backing us. Like, oh, they're keeping the time. Now, we live in the city with the, you know, the busiest airport in the entire world. So you may back out from your gate at 9. You may not take off till 9:25. Because, I mean, you got planes lined up trying to take off. And those guys, to their credit, they will try and make it up once they get in the air. Are you with me? But they keep the time. They try and keep the time. But several years ago, they didn't used to do that. I mean, they'll tell you 9, you may not take off till 10:30. You know why they changed? They started finding them for not backing off, for not being on time. In other words, if they stay over time, they're going to pay for that. There's a fine. And you remember, these guys, it's all about money. And so it's like, okay, guys, get everybody in here. We got to back out. And so they've been doing it. And it's been good. At least for us passengers, amen? But we're used to a society that makes promises and never keeps them. I mean, I remember the last trip I took to San Antonio. We left on time. I mean, there were no planes on the runway, so we took off very quickly. You know, we got up there, we got a tailwind. We actually landed 45 minutes ahead of schedule. When we landed in San Antonio, we had to sit on the runway because there was another plane sitting on the gate. They were not expecting us that early. And I'm like, come on, guys, come. I mean, okay, you can have it both ways. But you see, we're so used to people not keeping their promises to us. But God is not that way. Look in Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about doubt and discontent, which is another tactic that Satan uses to get us. In Matthew chapter 13, you're very familiar with the passage. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus goes back home, basically. And in verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. And this is the part I want us to look at. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Verse 58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. I mean, you would think Jesus goes back home that they would embrace him. Here's one of us. If anything, they're very skeptical. They're like, where did you get all this teaching? Where did you get all these powers to do all this stuff? The Bible says they took offense at him. And then the part Jesus says, well, first of all, you know, in his own hometown, you know, you get no respect. And in verse 50, it says, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. You see, when you doubt God, God will limit himself. You give God no choice. He will limit himself. When you decide instead to believe the devil and doubt God's promises, God will limit himself. I mean, think about it. Even in your own life, you remember after you became a disciple? And you went home? Did your friends and family believe that you were really different? I don't know how it was for you. That was not the case with me. My friends and my family could not believe that I changed. They were very skeptical. Hey, come on, guys. You and I, we used to live in sin. Those of us that are men, we used to chase women. We did all kinds of things. We were smooth talkers. We lied. Whatever it is we needed to do, we did it. And then all of a sudden, you say, you know what? I don't look at women like that anymore. They're like, right. You're not going out having fun anymore. Right. They didn't believe me. They didn't believe you either. Why? Because they used to know you. Now, obviously, it took the power of God to change us, amen? Such that, for some of us, for a lot of us, our families were like, you know what, I got to go see this. If anything, I think it's just a phase he's going through. It's just a phase she's going through. She's going to give this stuff up. Well, for me, it's been 26 years. It's been a nice phase. Because when you and I turned, we turned, amen? But it shouldn't be surprising that, you know, our family members, quote unquote, our hometown, didn't really believe that things are different. And hopefully, as time has gone on, our family members and our friends have seen that, you know what, this is for real. And as a result, they've now decided to change. Amen? Amen? But you got to hang in there. You know, the same story in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, you can write the reference down. It actually says that Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. You see, doubt is the opposite of faith. Satan knows it. Remember, he knows the Bible also. He knows, for instance, that according to your faith, will it be done? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Satan knows that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will obey you. Luke 17 verse 6. Satan knows that Jesus notices people with great faith. Matthew chapter 8 verse 10. Satan knows that the Bible teaches that the righteous will live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 and others. The devil knows that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who believes in him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. The devil knows that when we doubt God, we're like a double-minded person, tossed back and forth like the waves, that we're not going to receive anything from the Lord. James chapter 1 verse 6. And I've read a few verses because
I want us to realize that, you know what? Brothers and sisters, our faith is under attack. Every day. I remember sitting in Africa when the Twin Towers were attacked by the terrorists. And, you know, and watching that for several days. And, you know, CNN would come on. America under attack. Those were the headlines. That was the schedule into every piece of news. America under attack. Brothers and sisters, our faith is under attack. Every single day. Because Satan understands that if he can get you and I to doubt God, you're done. Amen? You say, well, today everything is pretty good. Well, guess what? There's somebody you know, there's somebody you care about, there's somebody you love whose faith is under attack. Maybe not you today. Maybe it'll be your time tomorrow. But I promise you, every single time, somebody's faith is under attack. Me included. I'm not immune to this. If anything, from reading my scriptures, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I believe that those of us that are leaders, I believe the devil comes at us a lot harder than it does the average person. Because I understand he also knows that if he can get the leader to fall, then the rest of the people are in trouble. And so you may be sitting there, you know, I didn't have any struggles when I was not some kind of leader or I wasn't playing some kind of role in the church. Well, welcome to the club. What did you expect? Satan is after you. Satan is after me. Satan is after every single one of us. Amen? But we got to stand there and fight and believe God and believe God's promises. That is the way to fight back. Amen? But you know what's amazing with all this stuff? You know, the devil is not very smart if you think about it. Also, because he does the same thing over and over again. He just uses different methods, different situations, but it's the same thing over and over again. What you and I are going through right now is not new if you think about it. We are God's children, amen? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Oh, I'm going to heaven, you're going to heaven. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's so great to be able to come together and sing praises to God. You know, because the singing sounds a lot different when it's just me singing than a bunch of people. You see what I'm saying? And then we got these awesome brothers and sisters up here accompanying us in song and with instruments. I wish I could play an instrument. I really wish I could. Man, you would not be able to get me off from the front of this place. But I can. It's okay. So I'm glad God has blessed these brothers and sisters with that kind of talent. Can you imagine what the singing is going to be like in heaven? We're talking about thousands upon thousands. You say, oh, Richard, I can't sing. Let me get you some more. You're going to be able to sing. Remember, we're going to get a new body, the body says. The Bible tells us. You are going to be able to sing. And on key, too. Amen? It's going to be awesome. We're going to get a little taste of that in a few weeks in San Antonio. I can't imagine 17,000 people singing together. Now, I've never experienced that before, so I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be life-changing. Now, those of you that are not able to go, you can watch it on the computer, I should say. DisciplesToday.tv, I believe that's it. You're going to be able to watch some of these sessions live. And so you don't have to, you know, I'm home, I can't go. You can participate. But it's going to be tremendous. But I want us to understand that, you know what, our story is not very different from what the Israelites went through in the Old Testament. God led them out of Egypt. They were in bondage. And he says, you know what, I got a place called the Promised Land for you. The same thing is true for us. Now, they had physical land as a spiritual one. We were in bondage, in sin. And God led us out. And he's taking us to our own Promised Land, which is heaven. And all we're experiencing here is Satan making sure that we don't get there. And when you read their story, he succeeded. Because a lot of them did not make it. As a matter of fact, only two adults made it, like as we know. Joshua and Caleb. He wiped out all the adults. It was their kids who grew up and entered the promised land. Now, I don't know about you. Okay? Yeah, you can call me selfish all you want. I am going to heaven. I am doing everything I can to make sure I get there. Man, if I don't make it to heaven and it's just my kids that go in, that'll be jacked up. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, there are a bunch of adults in the room. Amen? I mean, just think about this for a second. Can you imagine all of us, the adults, we don't get to go to heaven? It's only the kids that go in. Now, I'm going to be happy for them, but I'm not going to be happy for myself and for all of us. Are you with me? That's what happened in the Old Testament. That's all Satan is trying to do now. Most of them did not enter the promised land because of their unbelief, because of their doubt. They were not content as they went about on the journey. Let's read it. Look in Numbers chapter 13. Again, you know the story. If you don't, you need to go study it out. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. Moses sent out spies into the land. They came back saying, oh yeah, we explored the place. In Numbers chapter 13, in verse 27, says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and all these right people live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of it, for we can certainly do it. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Do you see what the devil did here? It's an amazing thing. He totally destroyed their faith. 10 unfaithful guys. 10 guys who were doubting entirely messed up the destiny of a nation. I mean, look at them. We can attack these people. They're stronger than we are, verse 31. He said, the land devours those who live there. All the people are of great size. That's a lie. I'm sure there were some short people there. In verse 30, he says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. You didn't know grasshoppers was in the Bible. It's in there. Do you hear the doubt? To the point now where they spread the report, they go, guys, we need to go back to Egypt. Are you kidding me? They spent 400 years in bondage. First of all, I don't even know how they're going to cross the Red Sea. But you see, it's amazing when you start doubting. Things that are so obvious doesn't seem that obvious anymore. You think God would have gone back with them and said, yeah, fine, you want to go back? Okay, Red Sea, open up, go on back. I don't think so. Doubt will not take you towards the promised land. Does that mean we're going to get everything we desire and everything we want in this lifetime all at once? No. God says, you know what, we need to delight ourselves in Him and He will give us the desires of our heart. I think even as Christians, we add in another passage or another phrase in there. I don't see anything in that passage that says He's going to do it now. And I think that's where we make the mistake. But God says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but He will. Because He always keeps His promises. Amen? God always keeps His promises. When you're praying for something, when you desire something, God will answer your prayers. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Believe it or not, God answers the prayers of non-Christians. Lots of them. God answered a lot of your prayers before you become a Christian. You can make a list if you want it. But it's amazing that God will always give you the desires of your heart. Amen? You know, after my wife and I got married, she told me something. She was a teenager, and she didn't grow up in a very religious home. But she started praying. She said, God, I want you to lead me to a godly man. Now, she didn't understand what that meant or what that looked like. But she said, I don't want to marry somebody like my father. Her father was a politician. Very busy. People always, coming for stuff and wanting stuff. And, she said, I don't want to marry someone like that. I want to marry a righteous, godly man. Guys, I'm from Nigeria. I would never have gone to Kenya. It wasn't for the fact that I was minding my own business in Boston and saying, let's go to Kenya. We're going to go start a church and we want you to come. That was the only reason I went. When I went on that mission team, I had no desire to, I'm going to marry a Kenyan. That was not on my mind. And it's amazing. Obviously, we started dating. We started liking each other, and I remember one time I was asking a brother, I said, what's the secret to getting married? He says, Matthew 6:33. Just seek God first, and that woman will come along, that guy will come along without even noticing. And that's exactly what happened. I wasn't going after a relationship. I wasn't. I was just trying to please God and help people become Christians. And there she was like, wow, okay. I couldn't, and I share this to say, I couldn't have picked her out even if I tried. But God answered that prayer. Are you with me? I mean, I can't imagine living without her. It's been 20 years. I was like, wow, where did 20 years go? He's gone just like that. I'm looking forward to the next 20. Amen? Amen? But you see, God answers your prayers. When you trust Him, when you don't lean on your own understanding, God will give you the desires of your heart. You have got to believe that. Satan doesn't want you to believe that. Amen? I know we've got some single people in the house. And I know, again, I used to be single. And a lot of times you're like, oh man, God, I just want to get married. Give me, I just want to get married. It's good that I'm glad you want to get married. And I want you to hear me out. But I'd rather be you single than go marry an ungodly person. It's not worth it. You got to be praying that God will give you that man or woman that's going to help you get to heaven. Now we're talking. And you watch what the Almighty God does. Amen? That has got to be our heart. That has got to be our desire. Because again, I've seen situations where people go into this. Okay, you know what? Oh, I fell in love with this person. That must be God's will. Really? My Bible doesn't read that way. Are you with me? Be patient. Trust God. He will give you the desires of your heart. Who knows? Some of you may actually meet the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with at this conference we're going to in a couple of weeks. I pray that's the case. Amen? But even if that is not the case, continue to pray that God will lead you to the man or the woman that's going to help you get to heaven. That, I believe, God answers very quickly. Amen? Very, very important. You see, these guys succeeded in getting the whole nation to take their eyes off of God, and all they saw was the problems and the obstacles. And we do the same thing today. Satan wants you to take the focus off of God and focus on just the problems. You need to get your focus back on the problem solver. Amen? Not on the problems. There will always be problems. But we got to make sure our focus is always on God, who is able to solve our problems. Amen? According to your faith, will it be done? If you doubt God, if you're discontent, you are not going to get anything. If you think about it, history is basically repeating itself. As far as the children of God are concerned, that's really all this is. And I know some of us, we love history. That's why we need to go take apart the Old Testament. History is basically repeating itself, spiritually speaking. That's all this is. Satan knows it. He knows his time is short. He's furious. That's why he's come after us. But unfortunately for some of us, he uses this and is very successful in getting you down and in getting you discouraged. You don't need to be discouraged or disappointed about anything. Why? Because God is still on the throne. He's still our God. He's still in control. Amen? Whether it's, you know, sickness that we don't know what's going on or whatever it is, God is still God. Keep your focus on Him. Do not doubt Him. And at the proper time, He will come through for you. He will come through for me. Amen? Very, very important. You know, I shared this. I think I did, but if I didn't, you know, forgive me. I'm going to say it again. I had a hard time several weeks ago trying to come to grips with if I'd never gone into the ministry, I would have money to send my kids to college. Because again, in my culture, that's the way it's done. There are no scholarships, no grants, nothing. Your parents go for you to go to school. That's the way we do it. Here I am, my first child, God willing, is going to college. And here I am, I don't have the money to pay everything. And Satan was trying to plant doubt in my mind that, you know what, look at you. You wasted your time. I cried over this. I spoke to some of our elders. I picked up the phone. I was crying. It was hard for me. Now, very quickly, obviously, it's amazing when you come into your senses. I realized, you know what, first of all, yes, if I'd never gone to the ministry, I would have never married my wife. I would not have these kids. And so let's get that straight now first. But my mind was all clouded. And brother after brother kept on encouraging me, that, Richard, your labor in the Lord is not going to be in vain. The righteous will not go hungry. Verses that I used to quote to other people, now they're telling me. But that's what I needed to hear. But it wasn't easy for me. I like to stand up here and say, yeah, it was all hunky-dory. It wasn't. Now, I wasn't doubting God. I was like, God, I don't understand this. Help me. Amen? And He did. And then some. But I share that to say, you know what? We all struggle with doubt. You know, I don't want you to go home now feeling like, oh, the evangelist just stood up. Just saying he's been struggling with doubt. What's up with that? I'm just being open with you. I'm not Superman. I know some of you think I am, but I'm not Superman. Some things I'm able to predict. A lot of things I get wrong. You know, it's funny, this basketball thing. I told Mike Rao several weeks ago. I said, Miami's going to win it in five. And so when game five was about to come, I texted him. I said, bro, you never argue with a prophet. I was kidding, okay? God allowed me to get this one right. But the point is, there are doubters in the Bible. There were. You remember Abraham? In Genesis 17:17, when God told him he was going to have a father in his old age, he doubted. How about Sarah, his wife? Genesis 18, verse 12. He says, you know what? You're going to have a child. He says, me? When I'm all worn out and spent? She doubted God. How about Moses? In Exodus chapter 3, when God told him to go get his people out of Egypt, he says, who am I that I should be one doing this? He doubted God. You remember Gideon in Judges 6? God says, you're going to be a great judge and a great leader. God says, he says, me? I'm the least in my family. How about Thomas? We give this guy a hard time, but it's amazing. We are all doubting Thomases, me included. In John chapter 20, when they had told him that Jesus had risen from the dead, did he believe it? No. He says, no, I gotta see for myself. I gotta put my hands where the marks were. Then I will believe. The point is, people doubt and struggle with God. You can't stay there though. You and I will struggle and doubt God from time to time, but you cannot stay there. And that's all the point I'm making this morning. You cannot afford to stay there. Because when you're there, Satan will make sure you don't get anything. Because God does not bless unbelief. God does not bless doubt. God blesses faith. Amen? And so all you and I need to do is just continue to trust God. And we can counteract this. That, yeah, you may have lost that job or you may have lost that promotion. You don't worry. Keep trusting your God. As a matter of fact, God will give you a much better job. Amen? Amen? You may have lost that house. God has got something better for you. Amen? We got to hang in there with God. Nobody can show me the Bible where it says God is going to answer all of his promises in 24 hours. It's not there. I'm still looking, but it's not there. But like I've said before, I believe he does that because if he gave us everything we needed right now, you have nothing to look forward to. Life will be so boring. Can you imagine having everything you desire at this moment? Why would you want to get out of bed in the morning then? There'll be nothing to look forward to. Amen? Now, there's a place where we're going to have everything we desire. It's called heaven. And like I've said before, and I'll keep saying, it's not here. I'm sorry. This ain't it. I mean, I'm sweating as I'm talking. Some of you are fanning yourselves. Because the AC is not what is designed to be doing. I mean, we're talking perfect weather. I can't imagine what that feels like. All the time. Everything is going to taste good. You know how it is sometimes you're hungry? And you're very hungry? And you're trying to fix dinner or whatever it is, you burn it or whatever, you know? It doesn't taste the same. Now you eat it nonetheless because you're hungry. But can you imagine every time, you know, the meal is a gourmet meal every time? I'm not even sure we're going to be eating. I don't know. All I know is it's going to be awesome. Amen? That's what we've got to look forward to. Let's not make sure that Satan wins with this. Yes, there'll be times when you and I will struggle, but we can't stay there. That's when you pick up the phone, you call somebody. And you pray with somebody. You talk it out. Amen? Very, very important. Next Sunday, God willing, I'm going to wrap this whole thing up, talking about distraction. And
Alan Rouse gave me this idea earlier in the week. He's going to start talking about it also as we split up men and women this Thursday. And so next Sunday, we are going to talk about tearing Satan's kingdom down. Okay? And again, the primary way in which he does that, that we don't do that, is through distraction. So we're going to talk about that next week. But I know Bishop is going to start talking about it a little bit on Thursday, and then we'll bring it home next Sunday, and then we'll be done. Again, I encourage you to get on the website, acocg.org. All these lessons are on there, both Thursday and Sunday. Okay? Our enemy, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Make sure the lion doesn't take you out. Amen? Amen. God bless.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning that we can get together and pray and worship you, God. How good it is, God, to praise you. Praise you, Father. Thank you for the great messages that we heard this morning. Thank you for using Richard and Perry to feed us spiritually this morning. Father God, I pray that we can destroy the doubts in our hearts and mind. Father, we know that the battle is out there, God, the spiritual battle every day, that we see Satan's work, God. I pray that we can stand up, Father, on our faith, God, and destroy the doubts in our hearts, God. Father, please be with Gergie and her baby who were in an accident yesterday, God. I pray that you comfort them and heal them quickly, Father. And I pray that as we are traveling this week and next week, especially to San Antonio, I pray that you protect all of us. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.